And like that, there were three. Gentlemen.
Aloha.
Aloha. And aloha. Ben, just the uncomfortable wave from Ben.
I can't, this is the only one of these things we use where it doesn't switch the video. So it's really, like, you can't figure, like, if the right-left inversion thing is all screwed up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like me to do this then? Is that better for you, Ben?
No, it's not even you. It's like it's the camera swap zoom thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like I raise my hand, raise my left hand, and that I'm not smart enough to interpolate that or whatever that would be in English.
Exactly. Well, welcome, gentlemen, and welcome to the folks who have jumped on and are viewing early on in what is this, number 8, I think, for me, venue 8. And so I keep trying to come up with really interesting and timely and fun topics, because if it's not fun, I really just don't even feel like doing it. But, you know, this week I wanted to get into some of the, you know, obviously our industry is jumping back in big time right now. We're moving very quickly. It's like, you know, the horses have left the barn, or however you say it. I just read an interview with Mark Ravenhill, who said it's, what did he say? Something about a Ferrari on the Autobahn or something like that. I don't remember, going 300 miles an hour, but it's just, you know, we've gone from zero to a lot really, really quickly. And it's, you know, I'd love to have 10 people on here. We've got three really great people, so I'm pretty happy about that. Well, at least two of you and me. And, you know, Ben, we've obviously got Ben Salzman with ACT, who's from, you know, the supply side on the distribution side with some very major brands, including Ayrton, MA Lighting, and others. And then Bob, of course, has been in the rental supply vendor side of the business for an eternity and then some. And so I think we're going to get some really good, you know, angles and wrinkles on what's going on out there. And so I wanted to bring in, you know, some issues I think that are plaguing everyone, whether you're in distribution or on the rental company, and even in the used gear side of the business. I'll give you some examples as we go on. And so diving in, the very first thing I want to jump into is what everyone's calling supply chain. And supply chain's a very big, broad topic. But from our standpoint, supply chain is obviously components that are going into things like lighting fixtures, consoles, whatever it is, especially electronic components, but really anything. And, you know, some of the more obscure supply chain issues that I was reading about earlier, Taco Bell is running out of food. And, you know, when that happens, you know that shit has gotten really bad, because I don't even think most of that stuff is actually food. Chick-fil-A is limiting you to one sauce, you know, and they usually fill the bag with sauces at Chick-fil-A, but now you can only get one. And so you have to choose really carefully, because there's some good stuff there at Chick-fil-A. Starbucks is running out of stuff, which is incredible. So, you know, I mean, supply chain is not just electronic components, like we keep hearing about the chips for cars. And, you know, the fact that cars are sitting in lots, and I don't know if this is still happening because I haven't seen any pictures recently, but massive lots full of cars that are just waiting for like one little chip or one PC board or whatever it is. Nike running out of sneakers. You know, no one ever expected this to happen. Nike running out of sneakers. This is going to be the end of the world. I mean, can you imagine?
The value of sneakers, I imagine.
Well, it's increasing the value of everything, cars, lights, you know, God forbid. It's really interesting. You know, and there's also another interesting wrinkle on all of this is there's a stockpiling mentality coming back. And I'm seeing it in the used gear business. I've heard of some instances, not necessarily in our industry, but in other industries where people are stockpiling things. You know, imagine stockpiling Chick-fil-A sauces and going and selling them in the line to people who want four sauces, not one. So, you know, but for us, I mean, the most obvious stupid example is toilet paper when the pandemic started. But there's starting to be more signs of this stockpiling mentality going on right now. And, yeah. You know, the end result is that things like used cars are becoming much more expensive. I'm starting to see used gear, and I've talked with Ben about this on MA2 consoles and now even MA3 consoles. I'm starting to see prices go up on the used market, and certainly all kinds of lighting fixtures. You know, one example is Vipers. We saw people dumping them a couple months ago because the Ultra was coming. Now I'm starting to see people hoarding them again. You know, they've gone from dumping Vipers to going, hey, the Viper's pretty good. We better hang on to that. Because what's happening is shows are coming in saying, I'd like the Ultra. They go, I don't have any. Okay, what do you got? I got Vipers. Great, I'll take 12. You know, I mean, so I've done a whole bunch of talking here on supply chain, and I'd love to get both of your input on this topic because it's a biggie. Ben, you obviously have some very different perspective probably than me or Bob as well.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. And, you know, like just one example from, and in my personal life, you know, like my wife drinks a particular flavor of Diet Pepsi, like one in the white, it's gotta be the one in the white box with the old writing. And you know, we got a month's supply in the closet are there because it's very difficult to find now. So, you know, right. We've actually been trying to figure out, like, it's more, you can usually find it at Stop and Shop, but ShopRite doesn't carry it. Like, there's, you know, it's a whole thing. So definitely, I haven't seen it personally at the Chick-fil-A's or Starbucks, but I'm definitely seeing it in my kitchen a little bit. In business, we're absolutely seeing it, especially at the raw component part. So in one part of our business, you know, we own a wire plant up in Massachusetts, right? So we buy PVC pellets, we buy stranded copper, we turn that into cable, whether it's mic cable, instrument cable, guitar cable, lighting cable, et cetera. And we're actually seeing a situation where our copper suppliers – won't take any new orders. So their book of business is full. They have, you know, we have purchase orders and say, you know, we have rolling orders all the time. And they, however, you know, they've put a cutoff where there's a certain time every month where they won't take any new orders. And so we're having to manage. And it's not just that you can't get that one component. Right. So, you know, you talked about this, there were articles in the paper all the time about how cars are sitting in the dealer lots because, you know, you can't get the computer chip for the seat adjustments or whatever it was. You read about that a lot. But, you know, coming out of a pandemic and trying to manage cash flow, which is something I think a lot of us in, you know, none of the companies in our industry, you know, had very, you know, or I was going to say had any revenue, but had very little revenue for the last, 16 months, I think it's been now. You know, there were some good government programs. Some of us a little bit of help. Great. Thank you. But, you know, we're going to manage our cash. And if you build a car, you've now paid for that car. You can't sell it. Right? You don't have that computer chip. So now you've sunk the investment in. So you got to be very careful about, you know, if I'm not going to have stranded copper, do I need PVC? Do I need connectors? How does that trickle to Neutrik? And into there, you know, it's crazy trying to.
Well, otherwise you end up with a warehouse full of 95% of the components and you have none, you know, you have cars sitting on the lot waiting for that one chip, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, I think on the manufacturing side, And our industry, we're definitely starting, you know, we are feeling that in our business. I know that our main supplier partners, you mentioned MA Lighting, you mentioned Ayrton, MDG, and others, you know, they're having to balance that same thing. And we're, you know, I'm not so worried about right now. I'm worried about 6 months from now when, you know, yeah. everything is supposed to be, how is this going to, and we've been saying within our company that we expect these supply issues to last until next April, and then some of the components are going to sort itself out. I'm not sure that in the electronics market that that's true. How is that going to manifest and roll its way?
What's the significance of April, Ben?
It just feels like that, you know, because I think a lot of this is just because everybody, right? The world stopped, right? March 12th of 2020, the world stopped. And, you know, when you started the world back up again, it takes time from, you know, the sub-supplier to get the equipment rolling and into the system before things yeah. can start coming out the other end.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in all of our talks, you know, the little group that you and I are a part of yeah. with Loader and Wiseman and John Featherstone,
yeah.
you were always really the most conservative as far as how long it was going to take. You were looking the furthest out. Of course, Wiseman and I were the most aggressive, saying it's going to be over tomorrow. And yeah. Featherstone was somewhere in the middle of all of us, right? Yeah. You know, I got my first taste of supply chain issues, I guess, when I was a tiny part owner of Coamar. And, you know, Coamar, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but these Italian companies closed for the month of August. And, you know,
intimately familiar with that.
Yeah. So, you know, my owner, the majority owner of my company didn't want any part of that idea. So we had to figure out a way to stay open in August. And great, no problem. You just pay everybody a little bit extra and you say, hey, let's stagger vacations, you know, so that this person, these 10 can take holidays the first week, these 10 can take holidays, you know, and you figure it out and you put some people on vacation in July or September or whatever, right? But the problem is, so no problem, we stayed open, but we couldn't get components, we couldn't ship things, we couldn't get things shipped in, we couldn't, you know, I mean, it was just absolutely impossible. We tried it 1 year and we never tried it again because it was just complete stupidity. You know, it wasn't going to work. And so, you know, Bob, I know that supply chain probably isn't something that necessarily impacts you directly as much. Really?
Wrong. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because as we're all, quote, pivoting and, you know, of course, I do live events, a lot of them. Less now than in 2019. my sales aspects have picked up, but then as I get quotations, if I neglect, you know, they're eager to tell me, you know, what the cost of something is, get it on your books, let's sell something. And then you call them back and say, okay, I got that confirmed. This guy is opening in about a week or two. And he goes, well, you never asked me about delivery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delivery and, yeah. you know, 30, 60, 90 days out. And it threatens your contract, you know, and that's problematic because there's also some companies that, you know, and by the way, by the time that's available, I'm not sure we can hold our pricing.
Right? Oh, boy.
That's really messed up if you've made a quotation.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
You touched on so many things. I'm going to just kind of rattle off and catch up to you. I mean, things are working like, you know, I call them swirling dervishes. There are so many contracts being written. There's so many people who are interested. I mean, everybody's ready, but they're not quite jumping in. Of course, I live in Hawaii, and we're still under mandates in the government. And there are some conventions and the like that are reticent to book until that's lifted. Can you promise that's lifted by then? Of course, you can't. And we've lost business in that respect, but things that you wouldn't have expected. It's cheap to come to Hawaii. Oh my gosh, you can fly to Hawaii round trip from California for $500 or less. And so that's helpful. But on the other hand, once you get here, hotels are exceedingly expensive. Even for myself, I've got a warehouse over in Maui and a $130 hotel If I decided like next, I'll go next week, $540.
What?
Supply and demand. And rent-a-cars.
Jesus.
All the rent-a-cars during the pandemic, I think I showed you guys pictures of our stadium that obviously wasn't open, but the parking lot was used for all the rent-a-cars because, gosh, they never all stopped at one time. And with that respect, now that they've got them back on the road, those that are left, they actually shipped a whole bunch of the rent-a-cars off back to the mainland because they couldn't afford to store them here. You know, property is expensive, therefore rental of a parking stall is expensive. And if you extrapolate that by numbers of cars, one in five cars on the road in Honolulu is a rental car. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
And so what that's actually done is it's affected used cars. So like you go on Craigslist and people are actually buying used cars for a week and then turning them over. Yeah, because it's cheaper. A cheap
rent. That's insane.
$100 a day.
So they're buying a used car for 10 grand, using it for a week, and then selling it for 10 grand.
Absolutely.
That's insane.
Yeah. And of course, that
is. Cheers to that. Ingenuity. Yeah. You know, I love that. That's American screwism, you know? Yeah. That's so funny.
Sorry, you got me going there. But the same thing is true. You know, so equipment sales, we talked about that shortage of gear. Lamps, you know, you better be buying the bulbs. If you're going to use bulbs.
Huh? What the hell are you doing using bulbs?
Stop using bulbs.
You just told me to hoard Vipers because they're still a desirable light.
Well, I didn't tell you to do that. I just said some people are doing it.
Well, yeah. As a result, I mean, even, you know, you better have the components that make your light run.
Yeah, actually, that's components is interesting because certainly the factories we deal with, and I was just talking to someone else about someone who makes like a network switch with a display in it. What electronic manufacturers are having to do is re-engineer their existing product for new components, right? So, you know, again, I used to use this display in this box. Now I've got to re-engineer the box or rewrite the software, the firmware for these three other displays because I may not be able to get the one I used to use, or this chipset might not be available. Or so I know manufacturers who have their entire engineering teams right now tied up engineering new components into legacy product. So it's, you know, it's like another whole layer of complexity for people to manage.
So here's an interesting question. I mean, scarcity causes interesting things. I mean, inflation is kind of getting rampant. Cost of labor has gotten higher because of, you know, people kind of have the choice. Do I stay on unemployment or do I work? Bags of chips that cost the same amount of money have dropped the number of ounces in the bag. Hopefully you don't notice. So I have a question.
It's crazy.
Ben, have you heard perhaps of companies lessening or their discounts to companies that are reselling on account of, if you're going to give this the limited product I have, we better be bringing some cash flow in for it? I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I don't have it confirmed. Have you heard about it?
I have not. That I have not heard of. I mean, I mean the biggest issue we see with that is, and I think we're going to talk about logistics a little later, is the cost of logistics, right? You know, a $4,000 sea container that now costs $25,000, and by the way, should take 2 weeks, now takes 6 weeks. Or, you know, one of my colleagues in the UK, and, you know, forget about Brexit for a second, but one of my colleagues in the UK used to bring in every single lighting fixture via air freight. And, you know, air freight, because there's a plane in the air freight's now four times more expensive. They're having to switch to a ship or a train. So I haven't seen the prices of the inventory change. What certainly is changing is the cost of the logistics and the freight and everything around it. And I think that that's, you know, really putting a hurt on some people.
And I'll tell you one thing I would add to that, Ben, and this isn't me blowing smoke up your skirt or anything, but manufacturers, not just yourself, manufacturers/distributors have behaved very well so far from a standpoint of, you know, you're not jacking these people for all these additional costs. You're eating most of them, and you can't do that forever. I recognize that. Certainly, you know that, and your shareholders and your board of directors and everybody knows that. But so far, from what I've seen, manufacturers have behaved really, really well, and have not pushed.
I think we're also goddamn removed just to have someone on the other end of the phone, right?
It's been a while since you had a customer
doing anything for 6 months. It's such a relief to have business, you know.
A counter to that, I sold 4 items, and 3 of them they can supply from the U.S. The 4th one is in Europe. They're the last until they reorder. Bob, this is what you'll have to pay for that one from Europe. Now, if you've already done a quotation, you can't go back to the customer and say, you know, that one item, I got to charge a lot of freight for that. That's problematic. So, and component guys, and this is a Hawaiian trick that I'm just leaving among us three because nobody else is really listening. So, you might be better off in some case to send one of your guys to Europe to go get the parts and bring them back baggage.
Flights are cheap. That's a very good point.
You use your miles right now. You get 2 free bags up to 90 pounds, and the additional bags won't cost you more than 150 apiece. And you can bring up nearly unlimited. I brought as many as 8 bags out of Europe before, entirely full. And I can service.
And that's just the coffee.
So honestly, that may be better to keep high-end clients than waiting for this thing that is the automatic answer.
I feel like I just learned something about Bob. So the racket is you go to Europe with bags full of coffee, you come back with bags full of
there you go. Tomorrow. Well done, Bobby boy. That's a good one. So, you know, I mean, we've basically moved on to talk about shipping costs a little bit. And, you know, the cause of most of this is a couple of things. You know, obviously it started with COVID, but what did COVID cause? So COVID caused, you know, less airplanes basically in the air and less ships, and shipyards were closed due to COVID outbreaks in shipyards. And there was one recently in, I think, China, Shenzhen or something, where they closed a port. And so, you know, less airplanes and less ships and more online shopping, you know, so you combine those two for, you know, really a perfect storm, basically. And when I talk about online shopping, obviously Amazon being the largest, I can't even imagine the number of containers and ships that Amazon, you know, makes up for. So, you know, containers, as Ben said, he was paying roughly $3,000 or $4,000 for a container. Those are now $20,000 to $25,000. And there's an added problem. So it used to take, you know, 3 weeks to get a container from China to LA. Now it takes a little bit longer once you can get on a container, because that takes some time. You got to book it ahead. And then you end up at the bottom of a container because people are paying premiums to be at the top so they can get their freight off quickly. So now you're at the bottom. You got to wait for everybody else to get their containers off first before you can get your container off. So these are things that sometimes the end user doesn't really understand, all of this pain that we're going through on the supply side of things. And, you know, that's causing all kinds of problems. And, you know, I don't know how quickly that's going to resolve itself.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Listen, we work in an industry where the curtain goes up at 8 o'clock, no fucking matter what. And, you know, we all spent our entire lives making sure that happened. Right. And we're right now dependent on an awful lot of people further down the chain who, you know, we think differently. They don't think that way. Right.
Yeah.
It's expensive. It takes, you know, that essentially you open your wallet and you solve the problem. You know, there's not even enough containers around because the container lands on the dock and then it doesn't get unloaded for 3 weeks. And so,
well, and all the tree huggers built them into houses in like 2018, you know,
right.
We got to go evict some people out of their houses in like Oregon, take those containers back, put them back in use.
Yeah.
I mean, locally, we have a company called Young Brothers, which does the inter-island freight here.
Okay.
And during the pandemic, I mean, honestly, we're obviously the most hurt industry there is, if you will. But the first things that stopped is everything stopped. For 2 to 3 months, things just froze and didn't. Yeah. And just like those cars that all those vehicles hadn't stopped before, people were not going inter-island. They were not shipping goods. They just simply froze because nobody knew. I mean, you know, people go, is it better now? And you have to, if you flash back to March, frankly, March of last year, you were wondering, am I going to die?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that really was the forefront or background of your mind, because we've all seen that movie. And so what happened to Young Brothers is nothing moved. And they'd never had experienced no cash flow. So they went, we might go under. But they're pretty much the sole guys other than air freight that are shipping now. So the state granted them a 45% increase.
Wow.
And that means moving a truck with gear in it or anything to supply to an outer island just went up astronomically. It's not that it didn't happen across the board, but you know, people who live on outer islands where food is coming in through here in Honolulu are certainly damaged. And those that where you've relied on, I'm just going to pack a 40-foot container and ship it out.
The sad thing about that, Bob, is what costs you $1 extra in that freight or shipping to an outer island or whatever it is, by the time that gets to the ticket buyer, is probably what, $4 or $5 or $10 difference in their ticket price. I mean, that's the terrible part of all of this, is at the end of the day, all of these costs just keep getting pushed further up the line. I mean, like I said, right now in our industry, most manufacturers for the most part are behaving so incredibly well and they're eating most of these additional costs. It's not gonna last forever. You know, at some point Ben's gotta say, hey, guess what? You know, you want an MA console, it's gonna cost you an extra $500 or whatever, because that's the extra shipping, or $1,000 or whatever that number is. I have no idea. But moving on, gear shortages. So all of these things, supply chain and freight costs, and now all of a sudden going from zero shows to God knows how many shows, we're running into gear shortages. And I mentioned the talk of the Viper. You know, I was talking with Wiseman about this a few weeks ago, and he said, we had all these nice talks about the fact that lighting designers were not going to demand specific fixtures. They were going to say, whatever you got in your shop, sir, I'll take that. Well, that's gone out the window already, of course. So now they want exactly what they want. And so the hottest gear has gone out first and is gone. You know, there's pretty much none of it. And I won't mention any specific brands or items or anything, but there are some things that are just gone. There's one manufacturer in particular who's telling customers right now that they're sold out of almost everything until at least November. I mean, that's just like, what the hell, you know? And they don't even want to take orders right now because they're just getting screamed at by people who are saying, where's my shit, you know? So I'm in the used equipment market. That's really actually not been bad for me, you know, because what happens next is they call me and go, hey, we need 200 of fixture ABC. And, you know, we go, okay, yeah, we got those, no problem. Where freight comes into effect again, though, of course. So, you know, another thing is that some companies certainly planned better than others. Other companies just, you know, happened to have way too much inventory. They were bloated through 2020, and now they look like geniuses because they have lots of inventory. I heard one of them bragging about it on a podcast a couple of days ago that, you know, we were prepared for this because we looked at it 12 months ago and we said, by such and such a date, we're going to need exactly this much inventory. Bullshit.
Who that is, because I'd like to hire them, because we, you know.
Well, I know exactly who it is, and I'll text you. How's that?
If their crystal ball, you know, that's it. We like to joke about how our crystal ball is broken. know?
Well, no, because you got your ass kicked for having too much inventory 6-8 months ago, 3 months yesterday, probably, right? You got your ass kicked for it. But guess what? If you had a bunch of inventory, you're in good shape right now, because even if somebody spec'd a different brand, you're getting that sale now because they don't have it, you know?
Yeah.
And they can't produce it because of all the problems that we've already talked about. So, you know, it's funny because the guy who was an asshole yesterday for carrying all this extra inventory is now suddenly, you know, the genius. The other thing is patience and flexibility will go a very long way, in my opinion. So, you know, not getting pissed off every time somebody tells you, hey, you know, we don't have that, or we can't come up with that on the date that you need it, or whatever. I mean, to me, this is where we're at right now. And we all kind of have to, I know it sounds a little kumbaya-ish, but we all got to work together on this a little bit, because there's not just endless, you know, availability of solving the problem. You know, right now we're limited on what we can solve and what we can do, and we're limited by all the things we've talked about. And so, you know, and flexibility remains that, you know, if you can't get the Claypacky fixture, you can get the Ayrton fixture. If you can't get the Martin one, you might be able to get the Roby one. So you have to be a little bit flexible. So I'll shut up now for a minute, because I know Ben, you gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta drop. I apologize.
Yeah.
It was great to talk to you guys. This is a really important topic.
Completely agreed.
We appreciate
you sharing like the manufacturer / distributor perspective on it. So
all right.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
It's just you and me now. We got rid of that guy. Thank God. Cheers to that.
Of course, mine's coffee this hour. Sorry.
It's a little earlier for you. I actually really want to get to Hawaii, Bob. I haven't been there in freaking way too long. 10 years. Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. I miss it. Did you see Loader while he was out there?
No, he stayed quiet in the island of Maui. He wanted to do his, you know, he was on a second, third, fifth honeymoon, whatever you want to call it. It was his
anniversary, 20th anniversary.
Yeah. So you kind of got to pay attention to that, you know?
Yeah.
I totally understand.
Well, when I come, we're going out to dinner or something. Maybe we'll go surfing. We'll go do old guy surfing. Do they have like training wheels for surfboards?
Yeah, they usually have a sail and a big skeg in the bottom side.
Yeah, that's true. That's like that's what rich old guys do now, right? Is the windsurfing thing or whatever?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about gear again. You touched on something that kind of came to my mind. It's kind of interesting. You might remember that the Mac 2 2K profile, they came out with Patrick Woodruff Gobos.
Yeah.
Anybody bought them, you know, because they got used to with the Gobos that were in the light. And that's what they wanted.
It was a good idea, by the way. I loved that idea. And that they could get a custom set of Gobos for a designer and pay that designer a royalty on those Gobos. I loved the idea. It just never worked.
No, but it's time. Right now would be time to get together another set of Gobos for Vipers, for fixtures that, you're going to have to take the older fixture. But you know what? They got these kick-ass Gobos in them now. Let's refresh
that idea. And yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Going through, because you're going to also be pressed for, you know, the promoter side. I don't know the capacity. I don't know the spacing yet, the limitations of my place. And the capacities here will change depending on whether you're going to check people for vaccines and COVID tests or whether you're just going to let people in. So the promoter then is pressed with how many people he can have in a venue. And in turn, that's going to be hard pressed for what is my budget. Well, obviously, if I'm going to go out and buy, you know, I used to say that a moving light that cost a car. Now cars are really expensive, so I'm not sure that's still a good equivalence.
Yeah.
That kind of investment is tough. But if you could refresh them with a commonality of this is a release from Martin. For the Viper, a set of kick-ass Gobos.
The challenge is that, for good reason, the whole world is going to LED right now. And so, you know, the Viper, the BMFL, they're like some of the last sort of strongholds of the lamp-based fixtures, but the world is going to LED and it's going to happen at some point. So BMFLs are going to go away and Vipers are going to go away. But I think for right now, to bridge this gap from this year till next year, the Viper's a very good mid-range to high-end fixture, and the BMFL is a great high-end fixture. You know, if you can't get BMFLs, you take Ayrton, you take Alation, you take Martin, you take any of the LED fixtures that are at that range, the higher, you know, everyone's got a really super bright LED fixture right now, which is pretty cool. So the next thing I wanted to move on to, Bob, which I think you're going to be really good at, is people. And I think the problem is very different in Hawaii. And I really wish we also had like a mainland perspective on this as well. But, you know, who's missing? Like, you know, what people have just gone to a different industry altogether or are unavailable to our industry now? Who's getting hired first? What types of people are being hired first? And why are others not being hired? Because I'm seeing, you know, on LinkedIn, for example, I'm seeing some people who are being offered 10 jobs and then other people who are going, hey, please hire me. You know, I need a gig. I haven't got a gig yet. And then what does the future look like? Like, does this go back to what we call normal at some point, or are we always going to be in this weird people bubble that we're in right now? What do you think?
Okay. You actually asked several questions.
Well, that's how I do it, Bob. I like to confuse you.
So no, you haven't, but the very first one is, who gets hired first? Vaccinated people is the quick answer to that. There are clients now at this point. You know, I understand that, you know, people have the right not to get vaccinated, but clients are saying, I don't want unvaccinated people. I have no position to give somebody an exception and treat them differently or treat other people differently.
Bob, you've known me long enough to know which way I vote. I'm vaccinated. Get frickin' vaccinated if you want to go to work. You know, it's just not an option. It's not an option to stand on your morals or whatever you think it is at this point. You got to go do it because you're not going to work.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, there's a reason we don't have smallpox anymore in polio. You know, these are really rare things, and it's because of a vaccination plan. And the problem has really kind of become a human rights issue, and it's really a right to live issue. And if you've got clientele that are at the point that I just can't take the chance, this is what we have to do, that's going to cut out a certain amount of people instantly. And it's going to be the probably the second question that I'm going to ask.
At the end of the day, Bob, on that first point, at the end of the day, if I'm the boss and I say everyone on my crew has to have red hair, so be it. You know, I'm the boss. I'm the one spending the money. I want all redheads on my crew. So if I want all vaccinated people or unvaccinated people or, you know, whatever, I mean, it's my prerogative.
Well, particularly if you're doing a legacy act and, you know, for a concert or a convention, why would they take the chance of bringing anything around? And that's going to be the answer. So that's the first cut of line. The second line, when people ask me, you know, hey, can I get a job from you? The guy who can go off and take some off my plate and go get me more work is the guy I'm going to hire first. You know, guys in the shop, I've already got a couple that I've kept with me and that kind of thing. But at some point as things grow, it's going to be necessary to add more people. Skill set is important, but you know, where I run into it here is somebody work on a convention and get paid directly, and they make a lot of money per hour, and then they extrapolate that to be what I should get for shop work, or if I didn't book the gig, or if it was put on the board. If you're bringing income in, you're worth more to me, for sure.
But Bob, are you seeing the problem in Hawaii where people either A, have left our industry because they just couldn't sit around and wait? Or
the cost of living is high, and you know, and for standing around, that, you know, that's really difficult. Unemployment is running out, and you know, it's a couple months before things are going to start moving again. Some people have certainly gone back and even changed lifestyles entirely. They're not even in this industry now. I probably have a smaller pool of people to choose from. And, you know, that's obviously problematic. And but I've heard this. I can play the mainland side, too, you know, because of people I've spoken to. Getting workers that are available and have talent and respectful is always a problem.
But the
times of, you know, you don't have too many options, you're gonna have to put up with my weaknesses. I can say, having gone down to having no cash flow and figuring out how I'm going to survive day to day and still being here to talk to you today, I'm going to make better decisions, and you may not be part of them, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because I had that conversation with, and again, I won't say who it is or what the company is, but a company that's been around in the U.S. for a long time, about a $20 million rental company. And we had a very long conversation about this. And he said, you know what? COVID was brutal, but I'll tell you where COVID was really good is it allowed me to get rid of a lot of people who had been with me for 10 or more years. And guess what? I'm not going to hire most of them back. And, you know, I mean, that's the truth in our industry. Some of these people, they've become our friends, they've become our family, but they're parasites. You know, some of these people just are not good for our business, but you're the same as I am. You're a nice guy. And believe it or not, I'm a nice guy and I don't like to fire people. I don't like to chase people out of my company. And at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you're forced to do that and it ends up being the right thing.
Yep. I found myself doing the bookkeeping in my business because I just, you know, can't afford, you know, additional people right now. And I've discovered a lot of waste and things that I just, I'm too busy for that. Just whatever, take care of it.
Yeah. That's actually a great example. You know, I think at some point everybody should go back to becoming the bookkeeper in their business because you'll go, why are we spending, you know, $500 a month to clean our office when there's only three people in our office? Couldn't we just empty our own garbage can, you know, or whatever it is? You know, I'm just making up an example.
You touched on something which reminded me of something that's kind of an interesting thing that people should take notice of. I have survived this long because of keeping up a good credit score. And I'll tell you, that's going to be a real problem as people have gotten to the point that everybody understands my circumstance and they've let things go. For those listening, not just for Marcel, he'll listen in anyway. I promise you, if you know you're in a bad spot, you pick up the phone, you learn the accountant's name, you become somebody that they know as a human. So they don't just report things against you because they can. You are going to be in maybe even not the pandemic, but there are times in your life where you're going to screw up or not have cash flow or a gig that you counted everything against to get that one. It just suddenly disappeared. And what that means is you need to know the people that are going to put a mark against you. Money will cost you more. People will... Gosh, they look at your credit score to rent a house. Yeah. And we've got a lot of people to choose from now. So you need to change those numbers. If you don't know what your score is, you should certainly check it out. You should, but really, honestly, the best advice I can give you is know who the accountant is, who's in charge over that person. And talk to the owner of the business. And that's what I did is I called every one of my suppliers and said, you know, we're in trouble here. I'm going to try this and push to you. And I'll double it down when I have some more.
It's such an important point. You know, everyone went through some trouble, some hiccups, my own company included. And at the end of the day, it's down to communication and it's down to treating people with respect and dignity and all of those things. You know, it's if you just hide in a corner, it's just not going to go well. You know, they're going to think you're an asshole and they're going to sue you. But if you talk to people and say, hey, Bob, I've known you for a long time. I'm really sorry. you know, I screwed up. I accept full responsibility for this. I promise you, Bob, I'm not going to screw your family and you. And, you know, I'm going to take care of it. It just makes such a whole world of difference. It's a great point. It really is.
I'm going to extrapolate just a little bit on that, because even in doing business, when you put a face on it, somebody sits there and they can put a check mark on the left or a check mark on the right. But if they know that the person has reached out to them and cares, you're not only going to get a pass, but you'll probably get called when they're in your city. They call.
Yeah.
That way you're making a plan for longevity, even though it's not the best fight.
Yeah.
Not organization. It's that you intend to be around. And what you don't want to do is be that one time, I can see what's happening with this guy. It's just like that guy. And they've got a picture in their head of who that guy is, whether it's
that's a great point.
Financial or whether it's the day's not going well on a load in. Maybe it's the crew, anything. But, you know, it falls to you at the end of the day to make sure, take ownership of it and then change it.
I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely important. So, you know, just to dial backwards here a little bit, are you having trouble getting people? Like, have you yet run into a situation where you've got a show that needs 10 people and you can only get 6?
To some degree, of course, I'm in a city that people love to do movies and they like to do television. So it's when people are trying to get the numbers for union and that kind of thing, it's limited to those. There are some that really love stage.
Yeah.
The money in television and movies is, if you can get on that, it's a healthy life.
Yeah. No question. Yeah. So that's not really a problem in Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii is so different because it really is, you know, this thing with a wall around it, and people can't really go outside of that wall to find work. They got to stay within that, you know, and you can't really go outside of that wall to get people either. Whereas here in the United States, it's a much wider market on both sides, the buyer and the seller of the
Hawaii service. Is part of the United States.
Well, I'm sorry. Mainland United States versus Hawaii. Yeah.
But I do tell people we're the only state with a moat.
That's funny. You got separation from the nuttiness. But no, I mean, here in the part of the United States where many of us live, it's a real problem. You know, I know that, my good friend and probably your friend as well, Cosmo, went to Gateway and he was tasked with putting crews together to go out on a couple tours and basically building his team. Hey, I need to get the band together here. And he was calling me daily, just going, oh my God, this is brutal. This is so much work. It's unbelievable. Like, people have either moved on or they've got 8 different opportunities or whatever. And, you know, I'm seeing that more and more, like just where somebody gets a show that falls in their lap and they run into 2 immediate problems. We can't get enough gear. And we can't get enough people. And, you know, maybe again, that hasn't made its way over to Hawaii yet, but here it's a real problem.
I think I would go to Everything Stage Lighting on Facebook and just put a notice I'm looking for, because that's where they are. They're hanging out there. You know, it's the folks that know how things go together, or it's the young people that are starting out. It depends what you need.
Right. But when you're putting a tour out, you're probably not going to go to Everything Stage Lighting. You're going to go to your own network and say, who do I know? You know, because I've been in this business 40 years or whatever.
But you can always not hire whoever responds. But you actually be surprised who's out there. I've contacted many an LD by way of Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. That's cool. Well, you know what? What a great conversation. I appreciate you doing this today, Bob, because these are such important points. And such, you know, big problems and challenges going forward. And I think 6 months from now, we'll look back and go, wow, you know, first it was the freaking pandemic and we couldn't get any customers. And then we had customers, but we didn't have gear. And then we had gear, but we didn't have people. And now everything's come back together and it's kumbaya again. So I think we're headed that direction.
Cool.
Yeah.
Glad to have made it through it.
Thank you so much, Bob. Amazing to see you as always. Aloha, buddy.
Aloha. You guys take care.